Oakland singer and vocal activist Melanie DeMore believes in the power of song to connect and lift up communities. It's what drives her work as a performer, songwriter, and teacher. Blessed with what she herself has called a very, very, very low voice, she's made a name for herself through music that blends African-American folk music with other American forms like spirituals and soul.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That's Melanie singing at the Trinity Church in New York back in 2011. She trains people on how to find their own singing voices as a tool for preserving culture and community. Melanie DeMore spoke with KLW's Jen Chien.
Can you explain to me what you mean when you say vocal activist?
Well, one of the things that is part of my work is that I create spontaneous choirs with people. And that is to help activate people's inner voice, because we're kind of living in a time where there are a lot of people who don't have a voice. And it's really...
And you mean that literally as well as...
Literally
as well as
figured. Uh-huh. Exactly. And I think that people are hungry, really, really hungry, to do things together. And being able to create spaces where folks can come together and sing, you bring whatever it is into the room, and you just throw your head back and sing, and we do it together. And it's a way of being able to hold each other up.
And you have a very varied background. Mm-hmm. You grew up partly in Alaska. Mm-hmm. You were born in New York City. Your
yeah.
parents formed the first black theater company
in
Alaska.
One of the first black theater companies back in the day. Yeah.
You've lived in Texas and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And before you became a vocal artist, I found out that you were in a convent. You drove a forklift. You were an actor. You were a chef.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of different stuff. So tell me about how you found your way into singing and into the life that you're in now.
Well, I've always been singing. Both my mother and father, brilliant vocalists. My mom was one of the first African-American women actually offered a scholarship to Juilliard way back in the day. But I'm very much like my mother. She didn't want to be confined by a conservatory, so she just wanted to sing. I always knew from the time I was about 4 or 5 that music was going to be my path. I knew it. My mom knew it, too.
So you're a founding member of the Bay Area favorites, Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir.
Right. I'm not with the band anymore, but I was with them for 18 years, and I was a founding member of that band. And let me tell you, Linda Tillery, one of San Francisco's treasures and really one of the best vocalists in the country. And to be able to sing with her was it was a trip. We had so many wonderful adventures, and it was just amazing. And to do African-American roots folk music. And when we started the band, we were, you know, 5 African-American women, percussion-driven ensemble who threw down. Baby, we could throw down on some serious rhythm and drums and stick pounding. And, you know, it was an amazing experience.
And so how do you think that has influenced the music that you make now?
Good Lord. Are you kidding? Changed my life. It was an extraordinary experience because we were doing the music that is the roots of all American music. Music of the Gullah South Sea Islands, slave songs, all of the music that is really the seeds of everything that we know as American music.
So probably some listeners have not heard of Gullah Stick Pounding. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what that is?
There's a whole series of islands around Georgia and South Carolina and Florida called the Gullah Sea Islands. And these particular islands, a lot of people have no idea that they're there, first of all. But the Gullah people have their own language. And most of the folks that ended up on these little islands out there, they were taken from around the area of Sierra Leone. And a lot of folks think that they did...
And you mean to become slaves?
Yeah, they were taken and became enslaved. But they were taken from Sierra Leone. Cash crops on the sea islands was rice. The folks in Sierra Leone knew how to grow rice. So these things are very specific. People think that it was known, that there was a plan as to where people were taken from. But one of the things that's so extraordinary about the Gullah people, and it's so extraordinary about human beings, is that you have these people that come with many, many different languages, and you got to figure out a way to make community out of no way. Created a language, a way to be able to express and to hold on to your own true identity in a situation that looks at you like you're not anything. And I think for me, with the Gullah stick pounding, you know, the drums were taken away there, but all the houses were built on stilts because it floods. So they would use sticks and mortars and pestles in their feet and turn the whole place into a drum. And it's a particular rhythm that is used when the Gullah rhythm. And my feeling about this and why I want people to learn this is because, to me, contained within that rhythm is that longing and desire for freedom and connection. And that how do you hold on to yourself in a situation that doesn't even think you have a self?
I can hear the song.
And so I do these big stick pounding workshops with people to talk about community and how when we are connected within a group, that we are responsible to hold each other's stories for those times when we forget.
And I pray for peace.
That was vocal activist Melanie DeMoor speaking with KALW's Jen Sheehan. You can catch her performing at a benefit and celebration for Buddhist teacher Shahara Godfrey. That's July 16th at the East Bay Meditation Center. All the details are at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents.